There's a song that I really like, and it's on a CD that I really like. The CD is called God Is by Richard McDeasy. I think I mentioned it last week in that talk. And this particular song I'm talking about is called Give It Away. And you might wonder, because you know that we're talking about prosperity this month, you might wonder, why are we talking about prosperity and the abundance, and at the same time I'm saying, give it away? How does that match up or not? In our society today, I think we can probably agree that it often seems like everybody wants something from us. You know, our time, or our resources, our money, charities, you know, it's wonderful because charities need concerned and caring people to donate, else they wouldn't be able to keep on going. Our church, you know, lives because of you guys. So that's not a bad thing, but it seems like if you give to one, then 17 others begin to mail things to you, you know. More than 17, as in, right? A whole bunch. So everybody is wanting our money. We talked about advertising before, remember, with people who make products, they really want us to buy them, and so then there's all this advertising. We talked about the beer commercials, we talked about the whitewater rafting and all of that. All that to get some of our money. You know? And here we are, we have this money, and so where do we give it away, really? And our time is a precious commodity too. If we haven't gotten the thing about boundaries, if we haven't learned that it's important to balance and learn how to say yes to what we want to do and no to what we can't do or don't want to do, we can be running like crazy. So time can be one of those resources that is asked of us that we might have trouble with. So give more time away? Ugh. So it feels like we're being pulled. Well, let me tell you a little bit more about this song, Give It Away. He starts off and it says, if it's love you're after, give it away. Good news or laughter, give it away. Don't keep your blessings in a bottle on a shelf. A gift will grow when it is shared with someone else. Well, now that makes sense. Okay, so I can kind of see that if it's love or laughter or good news, you know, those kind of things just seem to be contagious, right? Laughter especially, if somebody's laughing, then it's not that you have, you know, it doesn't seem like an outlay of anything. Okay, so giving away love and laughter and good news, that's, I can see that. Give away as much as you can. Then it goes on, and it says, a penny saved won't grow no matter what you do. But if you give, it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And we know that that's a reference to a scripture I'm going to talk about in just a moment. A penny saved won't grow, no matter what you do. But if you give, it will grow, be given back to you. And then, in the last regular verse, he says, if you need more money, give it away. Though it may sound funny, give it away. If you think there's something missing in your life, open your heart and give this proven law a try. Giving money away. It doesn't fit quite as easily as the laughter and the good news and that, but it says it's a proven law. Well, what does Scripture say? Well, that pressed down, shaken together thing comes in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Just for a moment, visualize that. This a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, put in your lap. Now that implies a packing of good, you know, just really packed. And it's placed in your lap. That's lovely. I like that. And so whatever whatever you give comes back. So when we think about this overflowing measure that's coming to us, then it implies that it is given out. We're giving out something, and it comes back. Eric Butterworth is a wonderful writer, I think. He's just so clear on so many things. He's got a book called Spiritual Economics that I dipped into. And there's a quote that I want to share with you from that. He says, "It's interesting that the Hebrew word from which we get the word I, this I, is A-N, A-Y-I-N, which literally means fountain. This suggests a powerful insight. Sight is not simply a matter of registering what we see out there, and seeing is believing. It is that, but so much more. True seeing is a flow of consciousness, flowing like a fountain from within. Thus, where you are in consciousness has everything to do with what you see and experience." So we're beginning to see that this idea of this good measure that we give out will come back to us. We're beginning to see that it has something to do with consciousness, about what we're seeing. He also talks about levels of consciousness, and makes sense, you know, because we have, regarding many different things. He says, in this area, there are two. The human consciousness has to do with getting and having. And boy, doesn't that sound familiar? You know, we want to get all the good that we can. We want to get more money. We want to get a nice car. We want to get clothes. We want to get, and we want to have them. So that's on the human experience side. We all do it. You put a gadget in front of me, I'm probably going to lust after it, probably, you know. I like getting and I like having toys and things. But that's human. That's my human side. On the spiritual, he said spiritual consciousness is giving and being. Giving and being. And that's really the truth of us. That's really what feels most natural to us if we allow this. So what we're setting up here is we're setting up a realization that somehow giving goes along with this law of giving, and that it has to do with our consciousness. There's another quote on page 27 of that book. It says, "The goal should not be to make money or acquire things, but to achieve the consciousness through which the substance will flow forth when and as you need it." So again, the goal shouldn't be to make money or to have things, but to achieve the consciousness through which the substance will flow forth when and as you need it. So this is all about our consciousness, this whole thing, prosperity, giving, receiving, all of that has to do with consciousness. He has a whole chapter on tithing. Now, tithing typically is a subject that makes people go, no, don't go there. But he does, in my opinion, one of the best jobs of describing tithing and explaining it that I've ever seen. And he mentions of it in Old Testament, tithing. But what he says is that oftentimes, they used the word tithe, but it was more like a tax. So kings would impose the requirement to tithe, which was really a tax. It wasn't, there was nothing voluntary about it. I think in New Testament, he shows like two different times that Jesus talks about tithing, and it has to do more with, again, from a consciousness place rather than any certain practice. What he was saying was that this tithing, a practice of tithing, when we decide to do that, whatever that looks like for us, 10% or 2 or 15, whatever that looks like, he said that it can be considered like training wheels for our consciousness. And he likened it to, say you have a teenager and the teenager has a curfew. So the teenager needs to come in by, say, 11, you know, on school nights. At first, the teenager is going to do it because it's required. He's going to do it, or she's going to do it because of the consequences if she doesn't follow it or he doesn't follow it. So it is a rule. You can imagine that in the early stages, the teenager is not going to be thrilled about it. He's going to do it because he or she has to. They feel like tithing can be that way for a lot of people. I do it because I have to. But what he says is that thinking of tithing or setting up a practice of tithing can be like the training wheels. He said ideally an adolescent will get to the point where he or she recognizes that if I come home at 10:30, certainly by 11, and go to bed, I'm going to feel better the next day. I'll be able to do well on my test. And so the teenager begins to do those things without the external rules or guidelines. So it can be the same if we think of it in that way as tithing. He also talks about the giving law, or the law of giving, is that you, just like it said, you receive as you give. And he had a wonderful example of a woman who, because she wanted an increase in her salary, so she wanted either a promotion or a raise at where she worked. So she began tithing with that in mind. And she tithed and nothing happened. But he says if you were an outsider observing, what you would notice is that she doesn't give of herself. When she gets to the job, she does as little as she has to. She gets by. She's often late. She misses days. She's not giving generously. She's not giving of herself of this. And so the tithing, the money part of it, is just one piece. She's going to get back what she's giving. So she's giving a mediocre performance on her job. She's going to get back a mediocre salary. It has nothing to do with the money that she's tithing. So it isn't just a money thing, this idea of tithing. It is receiving as you give, giving of yourself, and it is a shift in consciousness. So our goal, we might consider making our goal to be living in a giving consciousness, which means we want to be giving, of joyfully giving of ourselves, of our time, of our resources. It has to do with that spiritual consciousness of giving and being. Okay, now, that's fine, but we still have those issues that we talked about at the beginning. And unfortunately, I think sometimes we fall into the trap of thinking that there are limits to what we are wanting. So, limits in ourselves. If we're thinking that I'm going to give 2 hours a week to service, if I think of that as I only have 2 hours to give, what does that immediately place me in? Lack, absolutely, a position of lack. I only have this. If we get into the onlyness frame of mind, we're not in that giving consciousness. So we want to eliminate that only thing. And then the other part is believing in a world of finite resources. We want and need to realize something different. We want and need to realize that substance is the truth from which everything comes, and it's limitless. We live in that limitless substance. You can't see it. You can't reach out and touch it. You can express, you can live from that awareness, and things seem to flow for you and with you and as you. But it is the truth. If you use the analogy of the ocean being substance, when you stand at the shore and you look out and all you can see is ocean, and you decide you want some of that ocean to take home, you can go at it with a little glass, and you can scoop it up and you can take a glass full of ocean home with you. Or if you decide you want all this good of the ocean, you can get a container that is as big as you can carry and fill it up with ocean and take it home. You'll have it all. Does this in any way diminish the ocean? Not at all. Not at all. Substance is like that. It is everywhere. A few weeks ago when Vernetta was speaking, she talked about the passage of in Scripture about the widow's oil. And like the ocean, Elisha told the widow to go and gather as many vessels as she could find. What she had, borrow from neighbors, get as many as you can. And she brought those back and started pouring. And it filled up every single one until there were no more, and then there was no more oil. It is the law of giving is that experience, that consciousness of giving and being. It is there, and we just want to be in that recognition of that. That quote that I told you on page 27, the goal should not be to make money or acquire things, but to achieve the consciousness through which the substance will flow forth when and as you need it. There's that consciousness, the realization that substance will flow forth when and as you need it. This is the law, and this is how we can give. This is how we can live with this law of giving. Know that we have all that we need. Substance is unlimited. And so when we give, we can give freely. This is not to say that you write checks when there isn't money in the bank. That is not to say that. But it is an awareness that there could be lots of money in the bank. And we await our instruction to divine ideas. You know, we talked about that last week, as to how it's going to come to us, and we just wait for it to happen. When we are in that consciousness of giving and being, there is a peace, there is a calmness, a knowing that transcends everything. And we can be watchful for those little weeds of doubt, those little things that says, pluck those out, because we don't want to be only anything. We don't want to be focusing on what we don't have or don't want. This is how we can give. And it is our joy to share. There's an affirmation that he had in there that I think is really good, and I would like to read it a couple of times, and then I'd like for us to affirm it together. So the affirmation is, I establish myself in the limitless substance of God, and I have abundance. Let me read it one more time. I establish myself in the limitless abundance of God. Excuse me. Let me start over. I establish myself in the limitless substance of God, and I have abundance. Let's try it together now. I establish myself in the limitless substance of God, and I have abundance. And so it is. Let's practice our oneness. Practice this presence that we know that is the truth of each and every one of us. So I would invite you to become still in the outer and in your mind. Let your bodies relax. If you would, take a deep breath in Hold it for a moment and then release. And another deep breath in and release. We allow our breathing to deepen and to slow and to continue in that fashion. And it does two things. It allows our bodies to relax even more, because that's a natural reaction to deep breathing. And it also gives our mind something to do, to be focusing on breath, so that it becomes still, so that it doesn't lend its voice in endless chatter as it usually does. We breathe in and out. We feel ourselves becoming more relaxed, more peaceful. We allow our minds to be open. As we still ourselves, we allow that awareness, that realization, that alignment, if you will, with the higher self, with that Christ of us. And it is in the silence, in that alignment, that we are plugged in to the divine. It is in that alignment that we bring to ourselves that which we need. When we are plugged in, if we need comfort, we experience it. If we need courage for something that is upcoming, we find courage and strength. We are able again in this alignment to feel the calm and the peace. Our world moves at such a rapid pace, it seems like constantly, that these times of stillness nourish us in all ways. They nourish us in our bodies because we relax. They nourish us in our minds because our minds can be still and relax for a bit. And they nourish us spiritually, deeply. Each and every time we take the opportunity to become still and to listen, to be open, to align, we fill that bank, if you will. We make a deposit so that in times of stress, in times of troubles in the outer world, all we need do is just breathe and come from that place of stillness, that place of peace, and we become peace in the world. We become light in the world. In those times of stillness, we become open and receptive, as we learned before, to divine ideas. Any blocks, any notions of limit or scarcity or lack dissolve away, because that is not the truth of who and what we are. And so as we are open, as we listen, we are renewed. Our minds become fertile grounds for those divine ideas, those ideas that come that are of benefit to ourselves and everyone around us. Those ideas that allow our inner creativity to blossom forth. Those ideas that come to us that make the world a better place, because we live as that passion, as that expression. In this way, we are aligned with the law of giving. We are aligned in that we are free. We are loved. We are love in expression. And in this alignment, we know the truth of who and what we are as whole spiritual beings. We might receive information or ideas about something that would be healthy for us, something that would be beneficial for our economic situation. We trust. We lean into the awareness of oneness, being open and receptive, being willing to co-create in this world as the unique individuals expressing the unique gifts that we each have. And so as we do every week, let's take some time in silence now to experience this alignment, this wholeness, this mind open and receptive state of being, this consciousness of oneness in the silence. We experience oneness. We are one with every living thing in that we all have that DNA that is aligned, is one with our Creator. As we experience this oneness, we recognize the truth of our outer world, that we go into it playing a different game. We play a spiritual game that isn't about having and getting. It is about giving and being. And in this way, we do have an abundance. We are prosperous beyond our wildest dreams. And we are grateful. We express our gratitude by repeating and affirming the words that our master teacher, our way shower, taught us as the Lord's Prayer. So together, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.